It was a lofty ambition, but now Facebook has grounded its plans to build solar-powered drones that can deliver the internet to remote communities. The reason? Now that aerospace companies are investing in high-altitude aircraft, Facebook has made the decision it doesn't need to design and build such platforms itself. But the social media giant will still work with companies like Airbus to deliver so-called high-altitude platform system connectivity more generally.
Big Oil pulling back on its support of President Trump's aggressive stance on trade Tuesday. Speaking at a conference in Washington, CEOs from the world's largest energy companies, Exxon and Chevron, sounded the alarm on Trump's new tariffs, saying that a prolonged conflict with America's top trading partners could destabilize the global economy and put their companies at risk.
The U.S. and Russia have agreed to hold a Trump-Putin summit, the latest attempt to thaw relations between Washington and Moscow, which are at a post-Cold War low. It's the result of an encouraging meeting between President Putin and U.S. National Security Advisor John Bolton in Moscow on Wednesday. Russia and the U.S. are at odds over Syria and Ukraine, topics that Bolton discussed with both Putin and Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov during his trip.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the program. Today is Thursday. It is June 28th, and it's 5:09 in the morning. We're happy you're here with us for another edition of The Opening Bell and another business day. Lots going on the program today. It is Thought Leader Thursday. Every Thursday we have thought leaders in, and today John Horton is going to talk to us a little bit about residential real estate sales, and we'll talk a little bit about mortgage rates. So John will come in just a few seconds, and we'll do our thought leader conversation. A little bit later in the program, Dale Buss is here from Forbes and Chief Executive Magazine. He has a new piece in Chief Executive about Harley Davidson and the CEO and the crosshairs of the Trump administration. After Harley Davidson announced it was moving some of its production overseas because of tariffs. That is one of the stories that we're watching this morning. Wisconsin Assembly Speaker Robin Vose says he's open to considering tax breaks to keep Harley Davidson jobs in the state, but he feels existing incentives are competitive. The president has been tweeting criticism of Harley this week after the company announced it was shipping motorcycle production overseas to avoid European Union tariffs. The Speaker of the Wisconsin House said yesterday he would never do anything that hurts the ability of Harley Davidson to be competitive worldwide. As for Trump's tweets, Vose says he would prefer to use more of a carrot approach to say what we can do to make sure Harley Davidson stays in the state as opposed to a stick. President is scheduled to be in Wisconsin today for the groundbreaking of the Foxconn Technology Group factory. On the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk this morning, futures are up on the Dow, NASDAQ, and S&P. 29 points on the Dow, 15 points on the NASDAQ. Around the rest of the globe, markets are generally negative in the red in Europe. The FTSE, the DAX, and the CAC are all lower. The DAX by about 0.5%. And in Asia, markets are mixed. The Hang Seng up about 0.5%. The Nikkei is off just about a point. Everything else sort of in the 0.5% to a full percent range. And oil is trading at $72.82 a barrel, which is up about 6 cents from its previous close. It is Thought Leader Thursday here on the Opening Bell this morning. John Horton is here, the Vice President and Senior Residential Sales Manager in the Chicago region at Associated Bank. John, good morning. Welcome to the Opening Bell.
Hey, good morning. Beautiful studios, by the way, my friend.
Thank you. Well, as I told your colleague last week, we did this for you.
I appreciate it.
To make you impressed.
Very nice. The marching band wasn't necessary, right, but we'll take whatever we get.
I want to begin today with a couple of reports that we've seen over the past couple of weeks. Existing home sales are down. Does this have to do with inventories we've been talking about?
You know, it does, and that seems to be an ongoing problem. Everything seemed to be chugging along, and then it slowed down a little bit, and then the homes started to sell, and the inventory is just not keeping up with the demand right now. It's just, I know we've talked previously, and usually you get these ebbs and flows, but this is just seems to be ebbing. It's not flowing away. That inventory is still pretty light on the market.
When you look at it overall, the number of people closing on contracts, Is about what, 5.5 million?
About 5.5 million, correct. And it's down. It's down a little bit. I think it declined like a half a percent. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't anything crazy when you're talking 5.5 million being a big number, half a percent. But you know, for those that are selling their homes and those that want to move, that half a percent is a lot bigger to them than it might be to us.
Yeah, because I was going to ask, is you know, from just a general snapshot, is that a healthy job housing market still or no?
You know. If you're looking for the immediate hit, you know, we were talking earlier that a lot of people right now may want to move but are afraid of those multiple offers, which is something I never thought I'd ever say in the real estate business, afraid of multiple offers. But if you're not lined up with somewhere to go, we have clients, several clients at Associated Bank that, you know, that took that offer and then all of a sudden they couldn't find a place because what they wanted was either gone, there was nothing, their dream home wasn't ready, so they're in a hotel, they're living with relatives, so... You know, it's one of those things that you're going to see it. They're expecting the inventory to go up towards the end of the year. It's kind of the outlook. So it could be a pretty steady fall and winter.
I've always wondered what happens in that situation. I guess the hotel's one option. Nowadays, you think Airbnb? You think people are going to stay in Airbnb?
Airbnb, there are a lot of options. Yeah. It's almost like instead of a taxi, take an Uber. You know, hotels, I think people may prefer an Airbnb or maybe a short-term rental. On the flip side, you do have people that are looking at renting properties. One of our clients lucked into it. He found a 4-month rental and it was a home, which is nice because you can move in, you can cook, you can eat, you're not going out to eat all the time. So it's one of those things where there's other options. You just have to be prepared when you're signing that paper.
The drop in sales, according to the latest report, single family homes and cheaper properties, a decline in those sales.
Yeah. They're saying that it, depending on the market in that survey, the price point they were going at that are still moving quicker is the $250,000 price point and above. And the reason that is we kind of go back to the millennials. They have the good jobs, they've saved the money, they've lived on the couches, so they have the assets to put down. So they are in a home not for 3 to 5 years. They may be in a home for 7 to 10 years. The kind of startup first time home has a new definition with a lot of people moving into nicer homes that they plan on raising a family, moving into school districts. We're finding clients that are maybe not even married, but are looking at school districts before they purchase a home. They're looking that far into it.
How do you move those properties that are at that $250,000 or lower threshold?
You know, it is something, and I know Associated Bank has CRA, Community Reinvestment Act, and the low to mod income areas are very strong and moving. And the issue with those is there might be some credit issues, there might be some down payment issues. That's where you need to talk to your lender. There are some down payment assistance programs. We have a CARE program. So there's a lot out there that is not as advertised as it should be. So it's not as bad as it seems. If you get with the right lender and sit down and talk, you're going to be able to see there's an opportunity for you.
90% of the residential real estate market, existing home sales account for that. Existing home sales account for 90% of the residential real estate market. What about new home sales? I know the housing starts were up just a little bit, weren't they, recently?
Housing starts were up. New construction was off the charts here until about a month ago. Associated Bank has a phenomenal new construction program, but what was happening, as the economy got better, some of those builders that could build for $250 a square foot are now up to $325 a square foot, not mainly for their profit, but just for materials and for things like that. And people are like, you know what, I can get an existing home that's maybe a year old, that's right what I want, and not have to do that increase in the build. But construction loans are still very, very strong.
We talk about prices of homes. I think the latest home price report from Case Shiller, Chicago was at the very bottom of that list. Our home prices have gone up just about 3%, I think, year over year, while everybody else is moving to double digits almost.
Yeah, and if you're looking at some of that, and again, we talked about it before, is there's a lot of people moving out of the state. There's a lot of people in Northwest Indiana. It takes you the same amount of time to get downtown as it does if I lived in Schaumburg or maybe if I lived in the city and worked in Schaumburg, where the taxes are lower, the cost of living is less. So you're kind of seeing people, it's not as a trigger reaction as it used to be. I like that house, I'll buy that house, I'll get my financing, things are great. Mm-hmm. So you know what, what's going to go on in 5 years? What's going on with my pension? Where can I retire? Right. You get to that age where you might be thinking of schools, but you get a lot of people, a lot of the empty nesters right now. If they don't need the school system, they may as well go somewhere else where they can make a little bit more money on their money.
But I'm still confused. If the housing market is so tight, why that number isn't going up? Because you would think if the market's tight, people could be able to move up those prices a little bit.
Right. And it, It's a tough question. Yeah. It's one of those things where it's almost like a circle. The market's tight, they can move up their prices. Well, yeah. We're down, we're only moving 3%, but the market's homes aren't selling, or homes above 250 are selling, and it's not budging.
I saw a report about the number of vacant properties. The Midwest just jumps off this report. So many vacant properties, I mean, running from residential, some areas of residential, others are commercial, shopping centers, office towers. Why is the Midwest, does this, again, go back to that conversation about people are moving out of the Midwest? Or
it could be the Midwest, it could be the weather. You know, and I thought that was really interesting, and again, it's something, depending on how you look at it, you're in a circle. They're not going to start selling homes till the commercial properties are full. Well, if the commercial properties are full, they're going to start selling homes. Depending on the number of people that are living in some of these massive commercial buildings, some they're turning into apartments. And then once those start to fill up with renters, now you're going to see some grocery stores, some bars, some restaurants come in. But one is hinging on the other, and the other is hinging on the other. So you're going to need to see the residences start to get full before those commercial properties will start to pack up.
The report focused on Chicago, Detroit, St. Louis, Cleveland, among some of the others. There are so many of these parts of the communities, of these communities that have these empty, let's talk about residential places right now. Do we need more programs to get those properties fixed up to where they're saleable again?
I think you do, because what you're finding is a lot of those homes that are going are sold to investors. So it is not someone that's going to go in and it's my primary residence and I'm going to take absolute care of it. What happens when those investors buy it? Those areas become poverty and unemployment. So that is not helping anybody. It doesn't have the home ownership feel. Great, the investor buys it. How well is he going to take care of it? Is he going to get in? He's going to get some renters in there. So then you're looking at just the opposite. Well, if it's unemployment and poverty, do I want to put a strip mall? Do I want to put a bar? Do I want to put a restaurant? It's just not going to last.
I saw another report on the positive effects of home ownership. This is, whenever I talk to you about this, I always see the look on your face, like the one right now.
I can't believe you just said the word positive, first of all.
Because you, what else do I expect you to say to this question about is home ownership positive?
But, yes, it is, Steve. Yeah. Thanks for asking.
Go ahead.
You know what? It's one of those things where you're seeing a lot of folks that are buying homes. They have the pride in ownership. You know, you fill up an empty area, it's going to reduce the crime. You're going to have the neighbors. You're going to have the neighborhood watch. You're going to have a need for public assistance. You're going to have improvements in education. The schools, you get enough kids, the schools are going to improve. So it really is almost a trickle-down effect. If people go in and keep the community the way it should be, have pride in their home, it's kind of contagious. It's like you have that really cool neighbor that you want to be. You know, he's a nice guy. I want to be in that neighborhood. And that goes down to the kids. You know, they ride their bikes down to the store. Now that the neighborhood's full, the stores are going to be built. Mm-hmm. So now it's more of a community feel.
The report I was talking about is the, if you want to go find it, Social Benefits of Home Ownership and Stable Housing by the National Association of Realtors. You mentioned reductions in crime and the social benefits. There's also physical benefits of home ownership. I was surprised that we all know that having your own home probably makes you feel better, but there's some physical aspects to making you healthier.
Well, number one, if you have a big lawn, that'll keep you healthy, because you'll be out there cutting the grass. But you know what? You do feel better. You know, the best thing, and I've done it for almost 30 years, is going to closings. When you go to a closing for a first-time home buyer, or even not a first-time home buyer, the look on their face is absolutely priceless. Mm-hmm. It's priceless. So that carries on. They feel good about themselves. They want to keep the house, you know, up to snuff. I think it has a lot to do with it. It really, people devalue what it can actually physically do for you to buy a home.
You've seen many years of ups and downs, and I bet all kinds of stats. Is there any constant in this area of statistics?
No. I mean, every month when I come in here, it's completely different. You know, and even some mornings you'll come in and there'll be a different story. The constant is if you really like what you do and you're there for the client, that's the constant. I mean, if you look at some of the lenders at Associated Bank, month after month after month, same number, same number, same number. Some a little higher, some a little lower. Little roller coaster, but those are the people that really take care of clients, that build a good customer base, that educate the clients, which is a huge issue. There was a story, an article a couple of weeks ago. 13% of the millennials that bought a house felt comfortable in the home buying process. I'm not a mathematician, but that's 87% that didn't feel comfortable.
Right.
That falls back on us. They weren't educated in the process. So those, 83 that didn't feel comfortable may never go through the process again. So it really comes down to, we've talked about it before, back to the basics. How can we help you? You might not be ready now. Let's talk again in a month or in 2 months. So really, the education could keep this system. People have to move. They have to build a house. They're going to get transferred. So the constant, I think, is just being an advocate for your customer, for your realtor, for your builder, and making sure that your customers like that process.
For your role in the process, how, if I came in and said, hey, I'm a millennial and I don't feel really good about this, how would you make me feel comfortable?
I mean, why don't you feel comfortable? I mean, why don't you like the process? And I would guarantee you 99% of the time, complete misconception. You might say to me, because I don't have 20% to put down in a house. I said, Steve, you can do it with 3. You know, you can do it with 5. Yeah. Well, that is going to take one big obstacle. Once you knock that major obstacle out of the way, completely opens it up. And when they walk out completely satisfied with a little more knowledge, what are they going to do? They're going to go back to that water cooler at Google and tell all their fellow millennials it's not as bad as you think.
This is kind of a personal aside. I've thought about moving, but okay. I don't want to pay a higher interest rate.
Don't be silly. Higher the rate, the better the tax write-off, right. Steve.
Well, that's what they say, but do you find a lot of people saying that, hey, listen, I think I would like to move, but I don't want to pay a higher
rate. And again, it comes back to the conversation. You could be at 4. Well, rates right now, again, depending on credit appraisal and everything else, could be 4 3/8. Depending on if you've been in a home for a while, you may have phenomenal equity. You could put down X a month. Your payment may be the same. I mean, I'm put down for your down payment. Mm-hmm. Your payment might be the same. If it's a quarter higher, depending on the dollar amount, it might be $23 a month higher. So as big of a jump as there's been, obviously, depending on the loan size, you're going to have an increased payment. But depending on the equity, you might be right where you were.
And remind us again how high interest rates can go on homes. You've seen it probably 11, 12.
Oh, my God. I mean, 4 3/8 is nothing. And I've seen them at 17%. So it's millennials, and I hate using that term because I keep referring back to it. They've never seen 4 3/8. They've never seen a pager. So, I mean, they're not used to being able to pick up their phone and watch a movie. They think 4 3/8 is, oh, my God, this is terrible. So it's education and common sense, man. It really, really is.
John, always good talking with you. Thanks for coming into our new place, and we'll see you next time.
Real quick, I want to end this on a positive note. 86% of current renters want to own a home. 96% feel it'll be a great idea. So there's something positive for you, man.
And to feel more comfortable, call John.
You got it.
All right, thanks, John.
Thanks, bud.
John Horton is the Vice President and Senior Residential Sales Manager in the Chicago region at Associated Bank. It's our Thought Leader Conversation. We do it for you every Thursday. Remember, you can listen to our past conversations at WGN Radio on the Opening Bell page, and follow Associated Bank at Associated Biz on Twitter. You can also head over to AssociatedBank.com/thought leadership to learn more about our thought leaders and hear more conversations there as well.
Hi, this is Jim Dahlke with today's Inno Minute on WGN Radio. A rundown of all the Chicago innovation and tech news you need to know, delivered by ChicagoInno.com. Local drug maker AbbVie and Alphabet-owned biotech company Calico are spending $1 billion to bring new therapies to market for patients suffering from cancer and other diseases. North Chicago-based AbbVie and Calico have been working together since 2014, and their partnership has produced more than 24 early-stage programs addressing age-related diseases. Wise Apple, a Chicago startup that provided subscription lunch service for kids, has shut down. The startup announced it was closing down its business in a June 22nd email to customers. Wise Apple had raised more than $4 million from investors, including Pritzker Group Venture Capital and Chicago Ventures. And Chicago startup Tempo is making a sparkling tea beverage that aims to be a healthy substitute for that afternoon coffee or soda. The bottled beverage comes in 2 flavors, green tea and black tea. Both are made from organic teas and spices, have no calories or sugars, and are naturally caffeinated. That's today's Inno Minute from WGN Radio. Learn more at ChicagoInno.com and sign up for The Beat, our daily email newsletter.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning again, everybody. Welcome back to our program, and thanks for being here with us on our Thursday edition of The Opening Bell. As we mentioned in the opening segment this morning, the Wisconsin Assembly Speaker is trying to offer an olive branch of sorts to the CEO and to Harley Davidson after some controversy involving perhaps the company moving some of its production overseas because of tariffs that have been imposed. We wanted to bring in Dale Buss this morning, who's written about this for chiefexecutive.net. Just sort of how the CEO of this company and Trump are interacting. Dale, good morning. Welcome back to the opening bell.
You bet. Thanks, Steve.
This is an interesting story. And as you write in this, the CEO of Harley-Davidson and President Trump really were on the same on the same page as recently as last year and even at the White House together.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you think about it, what is more America and made in America and an icon of American manufacturing, actually, than Harley-Davidson? Especially after workers in Wisconsin, many of whom are Harley-Davidson employees, helped deliver Wisconsin in shocking fashion to Trump in 2016 when he met with Harley folks at the White House early last year. He was saying what a great company it was, what a great Made in America story, praised to the union leaders who were there, the fact that he'd won Wisconsin with the help of a lot of their members. And it makes sense for him to embrace what Harley-Davidson, means to American manufacturing and what its workers meant to him as supporters. But of course, all that kind of is possible to change quickly in the Trumpian world. You're his friend one day and his enemy the next, depending on what you do. And there's also a difference between the optics here and the realities, of course. And this story is just going to pick up momentum today because, coincidentally, actually, Trump is in Milwaukee this morning. He's going to be speaking at a Republican fundraiser. He's going to be at the groundbreaking for the big Foxconn plant there just over the border. So you can almost imagine, they're clearing Wisconsin Avenue there for a big showdown between the president and the CEO of Harley-Davidson, Matt Lobatich.
You mentioned that the optics on this are a little different from the reality. Tell us about that. Let's talk a little bit more about that.
Well, this dispute with Harley is really an inevitable piece of fallout, the first big piece of fallout, really, from Trump's tariffs on aluminum and steel that he imposed on Europe, the European countries and the European Union. He knew there would be this sort of dislocation at some point. I mean, the whole point of his rattling the world with new trade policies and trying to even things up for America is to disrupt things. And here's an inevitable, first disruption. But it's really a stiff penalty on this company, which, as I said, is an icon of American manufacturing that he has praised, and where their workers are, poster children, basically, for the core Trump supporters who elected him. So that's what he's ultimately got his eye on here. It's not even Harley-Davidson, per se, or its CEO. It's what do those workers think about his trade policies and how it may affect their jobs in the future. But the reality is that his tariffs here have just created a huge game of chicken. He doesn't know where or when that might end, and he's got this reputation as a master negotiator, of course, which he's bringing into play in all sorts of areas. We just don't know where this is necessarily headed. So there's optics there, and then there's the reality. And for Matt Lobatich, the CEO of Harley, the tariffs just kind of add to the headaches he's had. I mean, basically, his problem is that baby boomers in America are getting older. Riding a Harley, as comfortable as it might be, is a young person's game. They're starting to drop out of Harley ownership, but millennials are not buying hogs, as they're called. And so there's something about it that doesn't appeal to them nearly as broadly as it did to their parents. But abroad, Harley is getting more popular. They're selling a lot more bikes abroad. The growth is abroad in Europe and Asia. So Harley's been setting up these plants and places like Brazil and India and now Thailand, but that's optics. Reality is Lobatich is constrained by what it takes to run a manufacturing company, set up production, even move production. So for now, he's basically going to swallow the cost of these tariffs, which could be up to $100 million a year.
Yeah, and he has shareholders to be concerned about as well.
Absolutely.
Mr. Lobatich is in a position that I'm guessing other CEOs are watching very closely to see how he deals with this. He could make some good decisions and bad decisions where this is concerned, but people are watching him, aren't they?
Well, absolutely, because when I I did a story for Chief Executive a few months ago about the Trump boom. It was a cover story. And one of the things I did is I talked to dozens of CEOs about, okay, clearly there's a boom going on, and they were all both praising it or acknowledging it. I said, what would be something that you think would be likely to upend the whole thing or end it? And a trade war, the prospect of a trade war, was number one on the list of, you know, fears that they had. Well, here it is. I don't know if you call it a trade war, but, you know, the saber rattling is really, really loud, not only with Europe, but with China. And again, you just, you know, Trump could dramatically turn things around by saying, okay, we've accomplished what we want to. You know, they're going to be more fair with us everywhere. And so we're going to dial some of these tariffs back. And then almost the problem disappears in a sense. So that's what CEOs are watching. That's one reason why Matt Levatich has said, yes, you know, for now, we're going to swallow the cost, but here's the penalty to us. Here's why it's a big deal. And this is just going to take a little more time to play out for sure, leading right up to the midterm elections. I mean, what's the Harley worker going to do, you know, in Wisconsin, say? Is he going to go out and support the Republican candidates like Governor Scott Walker that Trump wants them to because they know that he's got their back, quote unquote? Or, you know, are they going to say, well, my company, my CEO doesn't like this. It's not good for Harley. That means it's not good for my 401k and my pension. Am I going to vote that part of my pocketbook? So the drama will certainly continue.
Yeah, I saw a report, I think, in Financial Times earlier this week. They had actually talked to some of these workers who seemed to be siding with the president on this, that they understood where he was coming from. And some of them said that it wouldn't change their opinions about voting for Trump at all in the future in 2020.
Right. You know, and again, there's optics and there's reality. The reality is that Harley right now, still the bikes that are sold in the United States are made in the United States. The problem is not, you know, is not what Harley's been doing, but it's what its customers have been doing and not doing. Abroad, you know, they're going to build more bikes abroad to sell in local markets, because if Harley doesn't build bikes in places like Europe and Asia, then they're going to get slapped with local tariffs to try and bring in American bikes. So there's never going to be more exporting of American-built Harleys abroad, and that's what, you know, Harley workers realize. On the other hand, they've never had a friend, you know, really who has their interests at heart the way Trump apparently does. So that's the dilemma.
Yeah. I'd love to be a fly on the wall in private meetings today. I'm sure the president will be shaking some hands and talking with some of these leaders in Wisconsin, and I wonder if they'll be talking about this at all.
They'll probably be talking about nothing but this. And, you know, fortunately for Governor Walker and other Republicans in Wisconsin, they do have the very great accomplishment, as they see it, of being able to break ground officially on the big Foxconn plant. And I'm sure that they'll be trying to talk about that as much as they can, rather than what's going on with Harley.
Dale, thanks for being with us this morning. We'll link out to your story from chiefexecutive.net, and always good chatting with you.
All right. Thanks again, Steve.
All right. Dale Buss with us from Michigan this morning. And the story is on chiefexecutive.net. We'll put it in the podcast link to it on the Opening Bell podcast later this morning at WGNradio.com.
You're listening to the Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
On the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk, we're looking for a positive open on Wall Street later this morning. Dow futures up 74 points. NASDAQ and S&P futures are up by about a third as well. Gold is lower this morning, down almost $2 an ounce at $12.54. Silver is also trading lower. Now, agriculture and commodities. Good morning, Orion Samuelson.
Good morning, Steve. The wheat market a little higher yesterday on bargain buying. Soybeans and corn, however, ended flat to firmer, consolidating after recent declines. And as investors await two key U.S. government crop reports later this week. Today, of course, at 2 o'clock, we get the quarterly pig crop report. And then tomorrow, we get the planted acreage report and the quarterly stocks report. So it's going to be a busy couple of days for traders dissecting the government reports. But as we look at the grain trade at the close yesterday, wheat a pretty good gain. It was up 9 cents a bushel. On the other hand, corn and soybeans both down half a cent a bushel. And in the livestock trade, the August lean hog contract was up 47 cents a hundredweight. June live cattle contract up 87 cents a hundredweight. And the August feeder cattle contract down 75 cents a hundredweight. And according to a survey by Allendale, the quarterly pig crop report due out this afternoon to show a 3 percentage point in numbers on June 1st, 2 percentage points higher on the number kept for breeding, and 3% higher on the number kept for marketing. Looking ahead to the 4th of July week, the holiday in the middle of the week, the grain and livestock markets will be closing during the noon hour on Tuesday, closed all day on the 4th of July, opening at normal trading hour times on Thursday. Have a great day. I'm Orion Samuelson.
Thanks, Orion. A couple of other stories before we leave you this morning. Apple and Samsung have finally settled a 7-year battle over smartphones that went all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court. The bitter rivals notified the district judge yesterday in the case of a truce that will include a settlement, apparently. The resolution comes a month after a jury concluded that Samsung owed Apple $539 million for copying some of the iPhone's innovations in some of Samsung's competing products. The verdict was reached after the U.S. Supreme Court issued a 2016 ruling that determined a portion of earlier damages awarded to Apple needed to be reexamined. Apple had been seeking more than $1 billion in the latest trial, while Samsung argued it could pay about $28 million. Also today, you might be seeing more Amazon vans out there, Amazon packages soon to be delivered by blue vans with the Amazon logo on them and not just plain white vans. The online retailer, wanting more control over how its packages are delivered, is rolling out the program today that lets entrepreneurs in the U.S. launch businesses that deliver these Amazon packages using the new vans. They'll be able to lease the vans with the Amazon logo stamped on the side. They can even buy Amazon uniforms for drivers and get support from Amazon. In return, Amazon gets more ways to ship its packages to shoppers without having to rely on other package delivery services. With these vans on the road, Amazon says more shoppers will be able to track their packages on a map, contact the driver, or change where a package is left, all of which they cannot do right now if the package comes via UPS or FedEx truck without a little extra trouble. Now, the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk Outlook for Thursday, June 28th. The Commerce Department issues its final estimate of how the U.S. economy performed in the January-March quarter. The GDP report is out today. Also, Freddie Mac reports on this week's average U.S. mortgage rates. We'll get initial jobless claims, a report on corporate profits as well. The EIA natural gas report scheduled today. The Kansas City Fed manufacturing index also coming out. As you heard Orion say, report on farm prices is due today. We'll get a report on the money supply and the Fed balance sheet as well. And a couple of Fed speakers out there, including James Bullard. Also, there are some earnings reports coming today. Nike, Deerfield-based Walgreens Boots Alliance, and Foxconn breaks ground in Wisconsin for its new plant there. Just some of the things that could move the markets on this Thursday, June the 28th.